Morning. Man, when I was a kid, I loved to play with balloons. Right? Any of you? Wow. Here, Sammy, hold this one for me. What? Well, that's disappointing. Oh, man. Well, So, when I was a kid, I liked to play with balloons, and my grandma and grandpa would take me to Olive Garden. Me and my sister, yeah, we'd go to Olive Garden because back in my day, they would give us balloons with helium. And we'd take those balloons, and they came with strings, and we'd go out. And when we go outside, we'd hold on to them tight. Because my plan was always to take my balloon home and strap it to my Lego spaceships to make them fly. But if you ever take your helium balloon outside and you let go of your string, what happens? Yeah. And, well, it's pretty disappointing, isn't it? Yeah. I know. And so... Yeah, you get to wonder how your balloon's doing 3 days later. Well, probably not up anymore. So with the helium balloons, and I had this expectation of going home. And when I get home, if I didn't have my balloon, my expectation wasn't met, right? If I let go of the string, if I got outside, the wind picked up, I lose my balloon. And that's, it's disappointing. It's disappointing to lose your balloon, and a disappointment is whenever there's an expectation, you have this big expectation for something, or a small expectation, and it doesn't get met. It doesn't work out the way you want it to, like that. And when it doesn't work out the way you want it to, it can be pretty disappointing. You guys ever get disappointed? Yeah? Sometimes you get disappointed. We all get disappointed sometimes when things don't work out right, or our expectations aren't met, and we lose our balloon. Hold on a second. And we, with those disappointments, what do we do with those disappointments? We live with them, right? We live with our disappointments, yeah. Sometimes you do. But sometimes they make us angry. Sometimes they cause other feelings. Being disappointed is hard. And sometimes we get disappointed in our parents. Sometimes we get disappointed when our friends, sometimes we get disappointed with our siblings, sometimes we're disappointed with ourselves as you become an adult. all these disappointments that we have, we should be taking before God. And sometimes we get also disappointed with God. And when we're disappointed with God, we still take it to God. And just like those balloons they literally go up. We metaphorically bring our prayers to God, whether they're disappointed or not. In today's story, we're talking about a man named Joseph who did a lot of right stuff. And he was doing good, and he was obeying and being faithful to God, and he still ends up in prison. And here in the we always think that as long as we do right and we do good, only good things are going to happen to us, but that's not always true. And so when disappointing things happen, we still have to remain faithful to God. And not just remain faithful, but God's big enough to deal with all of our emotions and our disappointments. And he wants us to bring those to him, as I turn it over to Fred.
Thank you, brother. Morning. I want you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 39, if you will, please. We're going to look at to verses 20 through chapter 40, verse 23. Continuing our series of lessons on when life is the pits. We've been following the life of Joseph for the past several weeks. And thus far, we have seen some of the pits that Joseph has found himself in, not only in a literal pit that we studied a couple weeks ago, but we saw that he was in the pit of an imperfect family from his great-grandfather and grandmother, Abraham and Sarah, down to his siblings. We saw that he was in a pit of bitter animosity held against him by his brothers. And then last week, we saw that he was in a pit of intense temptation from Potiphar's wife, who seduced Joseph daily to have a sexual relationship with her, but he simply refused. He refused to do so. And today, we find Joseph having to deal with a pit of daunting disappointment that we will look at today. Now, disappointment, as Ben just talked about, is the feeling of dissatisfaction that one experiences when expectations or hopes are not satisfied or not realized. And no matter who you are, you have experienced disappointment sometime in your life. Am I right about that? We all have been disappointed. Maybe it was a job that you didn't get, or a relationship that failed, or a business that went under. It could be a grade, you know, some of our growing up in kids, you know, school and college that maybe we didn't make, or maybe it was a biopsy that came back positive. And whatever your expectations were, whatever you expected to happen, did not manifest as you hoped, which leads to disappointment. Now, Solomon writes in Proverbs 13, verse 12, he says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." Again, we have all experienced disappointment that makes our heart sick. And things didn't happen the way that we wanted it to happen. But when disappointment is not dealt with properly, it begins a downward spiral, leading to discouragement, disillusionment, depression, and finally, defeat. Now, Joseph's life has not turned out the way that he expected. When he was 17 years old, I mean, God gave him two prophetic dreams that he would be some kind of ruler and his brothers would bow down to him, Genesis 37, 5 through 9. However, the path of the life that Joseph has taken thus far is far from being a ruler. He has been a slave for the last 11 years, an important slave, yes, but a slave nonetheless. And now Joseph is in Pharaoh's prison for something he didn't do. And whatever those dreams were about, it's obvious to Joseph that he is going to have no one to bow down to him as long as he is in this dungeon. And so what I want us to do, I want us to begin by taking a look at Joseph's disappointments. Number one, Joseph's disappointments. Now throughout this study, pardon me, still have a lingering cough from before. It's better, but still dealing with some issues. Now, throughout this study, we have seen Joseph experience one disappointment after another. I mean, he had been, first of all, dealing with disappointment from the moment that his brothers threw him into a pit and sold him into slavery. I mean, that was really the first disappointment that we see here. In fact, Joseph speaks of that disappointment when he told the cupbearer in Genesis chapter 40, first part of verse 15, he says, "I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews." I mean, it was something, even after 11 years, that was still a bother, a disappointment to him. He was a 17-year-old kid, you know, whose robe was ripped from him, from his older brother, then thrown into a pit, kicking and screaming and crying, and sold into slavery, not knowing what was in store for him. And yet, unlike many slaves who were confined to hard labor and subject to beatings, God had blessed Joseph, putting him in charge of his master Potiphar's household. I mean, God made him successful in everything that he did for Potiphar. But then came the second disappointment, when Joseph is put into Pharaoh's prison for nothing. Nothing that he had done wrong. And again, he's not there because of something he had done, but something really he didn't do. Potiphar's wife accused him of attempting to rape her. It never happened. Even though she tempted daily for him to come to bed with her, he refused, not only because she was Potiphar's wife, but most importantly, he said, "I will not commit this wicked, sinful thing against God." Genesis 39, verse 9. So in essence, Joseph is sent to prison because of his obedience to God. Now you talk about disappointment. I mean, we expect to be rewarded for our obedience to God, not punished. And Joseph knows that how unjust his treatment is when he says again to the cupbearer in the latter part of Genesis 40, verse 15, he says, "I have done nothing to deserve being put in this dungeon. Man, there's nothing I've done wrong. And look where I am." And then our lesson today reveals a third disappointment that Joseph endured when his hope of getting out of prison is crushed. Okay? That's the third disappointment, and we're going to be talking about that one today. But what I want us to do, I want us to begin by taking a look at the work of God in Joseph's disappointments. I mean, first of all, God bestows his favor upon Joseph. Follow with me as we read here Genesis 39, verses 20 through 23. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. Again, the Lord was with him. Say that with me. The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those who held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Now, so even as God had granted Joseph favor in Potiphar's eyes, verse 4, so does he grant him favor in the eyes of the prison warden who puts him in charge of all the prisoners who are there. But do not think that the imprisonment for Joseph was like a country club, okay? I mean, I often thought, well, here's Joseph, he's in prison, and yet, everything is great, he's in charge of everything. But the psalmist tells us a completely different story. The psalmist says this about Joseph's time in prison. It's found in Psalm 105, verse 18. It says that they bruised his feet in shackles. His neck was put in irons. I mean, Joseph is not in a comfortable cell resting in a lazy boy. I mean, his feet are placed in shackles that has caused bruises and abrasions, and his neck is in an iron collar. I mean, I think that would make it very difficult for him to sleep, wouldn't you? I mean, that certainly would not be a comfortable setting for Joseph to be going through. Even though he's over all the prisoners, he too is still shackled and placed in irons, especially at night. But at this point in Joseph's life, he has lost essentially everything. He's lost everything. Stripped of his robe, stripped of his family. Now in prison, he has been stripped of his reputation by the false accusations of Potiphar's wife. And by the time he gets out of prison, he will be 30 years old. Genesis chapter 41, verse 46 tells us. So for 13 years, Joseph has either been a slave or a prisoner. He has not been truly free since he was 17 years old. And yet, through it all, God has been with Joseph and has kept him safe. And then, Then in chapter 40, we begin to see the plan for Joseph beginning, God's plan for Joseph beginning to unfold. And although Joseph may be wondering if his dreams of being a ruler was nothing more than a fantasy, you know, that's what I wanted, it's just a fantasy, God is at work making those dreams a reality. And it just so happens that two of the prisoners that Joseph is put in charge over are officials to Pharaoh. Genesis 40 verses 1 through 4. And these two men are Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker, who had personal contact with Pharaoh, you know, daily. The baker would be responsible for cooking the food for the king, the cupbearer would be responsible for not only tasting the food and the wine, you know, for any kind of, you know, any hint of poison before serving it to the king, but he would also be a trusted political advisor. But something happened to make the king angry with these two officials. I mean, Pharaoh may have reason to believe that either one or both, you know, are pose a threat to his life. And so he puts them in prison while he's investigating their actions. We really don't know for sure, but the scripture says that he is angry with them and puts them in prison. And after being in prison for a while, the two officials have troubling dreams on the very same night. So let's read on. Genesis 40, the latter part of verse 4 through 8. Let's read on. It says, after they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer, the baker, the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. And when Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. And so he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him, in his master's house, why are your faces so sad today? I mean, this here shows the empathy that Joseph had for those in his charge. He says, we both had dreams, they answered, but there's no one to interpret them. And then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. Now, if I were in Joseph's shoes, I think I would be very reluctant to even want to hear about their dreams, much less want to interpret them. I mean, I wouldn't blame Joseph at all if he would have said, listen, guys, I'd really like to help here, but I had a couple of dreams about 11 years ago that didn't amount to anything. In fact, they actually got me into trouble with my brothers, and that's why I'm in the Egyptian prison today. But instead, he says, doesn't the interpretation belong to God? Let me hear them. And the cupbearer then shares his dream first. Look at verses 9 through 11. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, in my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. And as soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes, and Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, so I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never dreamed about grapes before. I have preached sermons in my dreams, okay, but I've never dreamed about grapes. But as Joseph interprets the cupbearer's dream, he tells him, well, guess what? In 3 days, you are going to be restored to your position and in favor with Pharaoh once again, verses 12 through 13. But then he asked the cupbearer this in verse 14. He says to the cupbearer, now listen, when it goes well with you and you realize that the interpretation was true, will you remember me? Will you remember me and kindly mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison? I mean, he has just done this cupbearer a favor. He has interpreted his dream, and the dream is positive. He's going to be restored to his position. So all he's asking is, remember me and talk to me talk to Pharaoh about me. But whether or not Joseph believes that God has put all of this in motion, he sees this as his only hope to finally get out of prison. But then the baker shares his dream. Let's read on. Verses 16 through 17. And when the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, I had a dream too. On my head were three baskets of bread, and the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. Now, I know the baker was looking for some good news here, especially since the cupbearer received some good news. But as Joseph interprets his dreams, he says, in 3 days, you're going to be hanging from a tree, and the birds are going to eat your flesh. Verses 18 and 19. Now, I think I would say, well, listen, let me just sleep on it one more time, and I'll come up with another dream. And we really don't know what crime the baker committed, but he is going to receive the death penalty. And then 3 days later, at Pharaoh's birthday party, their dreams come to pass. The cupbearer was restored to his position, and the baker was hung, verses 20 through 22. But the sad part of this is verse 23, because after all this, Joseph is forgotten. It says here the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Now, by this time, you would think that Joseph is used to disappointment. But I believe that this one really hurt. I mean, he probably thought that God was using the situation with the cupbearer to get him a hearing with Pharaoh, but he doesn't see that happening at all. And not only that, it must have dawned on Joseph how quickly those dreams came to pass. In just 3 days. And it's been now over a decade since Joseph had his dreams, and he doesn't see even the possibility of those dreams coming true. I mean, for all he knows, he's going to be spending the rest of his life in prison. And in fact, Genesis 41 verse 1 tells us that 24 more months of imprisonment for Joseph will pass. Okay, how about our disappointments? Those are Joseph's disappointments, but what about our disappointments? Again, we have all experienced disappointment in our lives. Am I right about that, every one of us? We've experienced disappointment. I mean, things just don't always turn out the way that we expect or hope. And sometimes disappointment is the result of very difficult circumstances. Divorce, bankruptcy, destruction of property that we have seen some deal with over the past few storms, sickness, death. And these disappointing situations can destroy us if we allow them. And like Joseph, the Apostle Paul dealt with one disappointing blow after another. In fact, he lists some of the disappointing difficulties and situations that he faced in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 and following. Beatings, stoning, shipwrecks, extreme exposure to the elements, imprisonments, constant danger from both of the Jews and the Gentiles. And on, Paul presents this huge list, this long list of all that he's gone through for preaching Jesus. And despite what all Paul had gone through, I want you to listen to how he handled these disappointing situations. I want you to turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you will, please. 2 Corinthians 4. Verses 8 and 9, listen to Paul. Paul said, "We are hard pressed on every side." And I want to say, boy, Paul, I understand that. You've already presented that list, or you will, in chapter 11. We understand it. But notice what he says. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not destroyed. So here is the Apostle Paul that is dealing with the things that he said he's been going through and how it has affected him. And Paul is very honestly and candidly said, let me tell you, church, I have been put through the mill. I have experienced so much pain and heartache and disappointment and difficulties that has taken me to the brink. But regardless of all the hardship that I have been through, I have not been crushed, abandoned, or destroyed. Regardless of what I've gone through, Paul said, I'm still on my feet. So how did Paul remain strong despite the disappointments that he endured? Well, it's really found in Philippians chapter 4. Turn your Bible over there. Because in a Roman prison, with the possibility that he might be executed for preaching Jesus as the Christ, Paul presents a formula to handle life's disappointments. Listen to what he says. Philippians 4, beginning with verse 4. 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So Paul then presents the formula to handle life's difficulties. First of all, he says, put your joy in the Lord. Say that with me. Put your joy in the Lord. Verse 4. Now, friends, if our joy is placed and grounded in the people, the things, and the right circumstances that surround us, when they are taken away, so is our joy. But when we rejoice in the Lord always, nothing can deplete our joy. Amen? Nothing can deplete our joy. Our joy in the Lord is what picks us up when Satan knocks us down. Because our joy is not in the circumstances. Our joy is not in anything else around us. Our joy is in the Lord. Secondly, he said, turn your concerns over to God. Say this with me. Turn your concerns over to God, verses 6 and 7. If it wasn't for prayer, when we lost our son Stephen, I wouldn't be standing here today. I would not be here. Prayer is what sustained me from the moment that the ambulance took our son to the hospital to the day I received the call that he was gone. It is prayer that got me through these last 2 years. July 29th will make the second year that Stephen is with God in heaven. So whatever disappointing situation you are going through right now, talk to God about it, seeking His wisdom and strength to get you through. And it sounds Pollyanna. I know it does. So I'm going through this difficulty, so I just need to talk to God about it. But I guarantee you, if you just sit down and just pour your heart out to God, you will feel a peace, as Paul said, that surpasses all understanding. Now, peace will be there just to help you through whatever it is that you're dealing with. And then thirdly, Paul said, dwell on the good things of life. Say this with me. Dwell on the good things of life. Verse 8. My friends, Paul wants us to focus on the positive things around us, not the negative. And please understand that Paul is not saying that we are to deny the negative things that happen to us. I mean, you know, he had a list of all the negative things that he went through. So he's not saying that at all. But he is saying that we should not dwell on the negative, which only produces misery, not joy. So what are the things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy that we are to focus on? What are these things? Well, we need to focus on the hope. The hope that is based on our faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, not all the circumstances around us, but this is a hope that is based on Jesus. I mean, it's not what we say, well, I just want to be happy. Happy depends upon the circumstances, on the happenings around you. But joy is there eternally. Secondly, we need to focus on the promises. The promises that are based on God's unchanging integrity and power. Friends, unlike us, God keeps His promises. And we need to focus on those promises. Thirdly is the peace. Peace that is based on God's presence and work in our lives. I mean, it is peace in the midst of turmoil. It's peace in the midst of disappointment that God gives us this peace. And then we need to focus on the assurance. The assurance that we have that's based on God's unfailing grace. That we know because of God's grace, we are forgiven. And we are on our way to heaven. Amen? And then focus on the eternal things. The eternal things that are stored up in heaven for us based on God's dependability. Paul said it this way in Colossians 3 verse 2. He says, set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. The things that are spiritual and eternal, not the things that are earthly and temporary. Disappointment is unavoidable, pardon me. It's an unavoidable part of life. But yet we have the power available to us to keep from crumbling when life disappoints. Paul closes Philippians chapter 4 with verse 13. In verse 13, he says, I can do everything through Christ, through Him who gives me strength. I mean, Christ gives us the strength that we need to deal with and overcome the frustrations, conflicts, weariness, and disappointments in life. We just got to turn it over to Him. Amen? Turn it over to Him. So here's the question that I want you to consider as we bring up that last slide. How are you handling disappointment? Honestly, I don't always handle disappointment in a godly way. Sometimes, man, as Ben talked about earlier, sometimes we're just getting disappointed with God. You ever been disappointed with God? Ever been disappointed with God? Yeah, I've been there. And you just don't understand it. And, you know, I look at Joseph, you know, for, you know, obeying God. And I'm obeying God. And where that happens, I wind up in prison for obeying God. I mean, I think I would be a little disappointed. It doesn't say that Joseph is disappointed with God, but I know there's a disappointment there. He talks about that disappointment when he says, I'm in this dungeon and I haven't done anything wrong. It's not right. It's not right. And there are times that we just deal with things in life, things that we have prayed for, and they just always turn out the way that we want. And you think, God, what is up with that? What is up with that? And we just don't understand it. But that's when we need to pause and look at our self-pity and realize and it's not really about me. It's all about God. And I know God has a plan that I don't even understand. I mean, God is working a plan for Joseph. I mean, next week, you got to come back and hear that one, okay? Because, man, he is working out something for Joseph that's just amazing. And he doesn't see it now. In fact, two more years pass, and he's wondering, okay, well, here, this is my life from now on. You know, I'm stuck in this dungeon. You don't have to sleep in shackles, you know, on my feet and an iron collar on my neck. And yet we know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. We know the rest of the story, and it turns out good. And then Joseph's going to look back on it and say, man, God, look what you've been doing all along. You see, that's what happens when we face difficulties and disappointment. When time finally passes and we're able to look back and we can see, God, I can see what you were doing there all along. Thank you. Thank you. If you're here today and you're just struggling with life, struggling with disappointment or difficulties, whatever it is that you might be going through, we want to help you today. We're going to be singing the invitation song. And during this invitation song, it's just an opportunity once again for us to just to take a deep look within our own souls and hearts and just say, okay, God, what am I learning? What is it that you want me to learn from all the things that we're going through, all the difficulties, all the disappointment that we experience? What do you want me to learn? Because I believe God is there for us no matter what. Amen? He's there for us no matter what. We just have to listen and watch what he's got in store. So if we can help you today, pray for you, anything, we want you to come as together we stand and we sing.